You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today we will start a brand new series called In Time. While I was looking into this, I realized the past couple of months and weeks, there are people actually in our church, sadly, they've lost their jobs. They were deeply affected by this crisis that we are in. Last week, I officiated a wedding and the mother of the bride was watching through Zoom on her phone simply because she can't make it here in the wedding of her daughter. Can you just imagine those kinds of situations? I also know of someone in our church whose father in Manila and she can't even go there to bury her father because of the situation that we are in. You know, it's a sad, odd, lonely time for many of us. And, you know, I hope and pray that as we look into this series called In Time, we will look into who Jesus is in our life by looking into the book of John. And my prayer is that as we look into this series for all of us, or perhaps for most of us, we will be embracing the life and light that we can have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Merry Christmas, everyone. It still is a Merry Christmas for all of us. Amen. Simply because we have Christ in our life. I'd like for us to turn our Bibles for a while to the book of John. And today, we will cover the entire prologue, which is from verse 1 down to verse 18. We will read verses 1 to 18, but we will cover verses 1 to 3 and verse 14. Now, as we read this portion of John, I pray that we will read this not with a lens of familiarity, but I pray that you would read it for what it is and for what it wants to convey. Amen? So here it is. It says here, John chapter 1, verses 1 down to verse 18. This talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what John says in his account. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me runs before me because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, yet grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Yeah, I remember my discipler, the one who discipled me. When I became a Christian, he told me to first go to the book of John, to read the book of John. At that time, I didn't really understand why, because I felt like Matthew is a good place to start with. There's actually no rule to that, or there's no palace in Victory that you have to start with John. But as I was growing as a Christian, I realized the importance of looking into the book of John. Now I understand why he wanted me to look into it. Now, the reason why I wanted us to see the entire prologue, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is for every single one of us. And the beautiful thing about here in John chapter 1, at least in verses 1 down to verse 3, where it says here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," it says here. And then verse 2, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And then in verse 3, it says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We'll endeavor to understand these things today. So obviously in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, the verse that we've read, we know for a fact that John was up to something. All right? Do you have friends who come to you and they're so excited about revealing a secret or they want to tell you something? You'd see the excitement in their faces. A lot of times when we are excited about something, our face would glow up, our lights would light up, and then, I don't know if you've noticed this, but sometimes we keep repeating ourselves. When we are excited about something, when something has really convinced us, we become ambassadors of those products or of those brands. Here we see, for the lack of a better term, John was about to drop a spiritual nuclear bomb. John here wants to release something to every single one of his hearers. It's like he demands everyone to look at him and to listen into every words that he was gonna say. Allow me to explain it this way. I don't know if you're familiar with a car brand called Tesla. It's one of the popular brands of cars right now. It's an electric car, becoming popular in Europe, in the United States, and it's quite expensive, isn't it? Okay, I've never seen one in the Philippines, but you'd see a lot of Tesla in other places of the world. Now, I've read that Tesla can run a speed of 60 kilometers per hour in just under 3 seconds. I think it takes us 3 seconds to put on our seatbelt. You're just pulling your seatbelt and you're like running 60 kilometers per hour. That mean car means business. That is basically what we see here in John. Why? If you compare the book of John with the book of Matthew, with the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are four gospel accounts, and John, as we understand, is in the latter part of your Bible. Okay, if you compare the book of John with the book of Matthew, with the book of Mark, and the book of Luke, you'd see that John didn't concern himself with the genealogy. Not that genealogy is not good. In fact, we can preach from genealogy for a full 10 weeks or a full 1 year. But here we see that John here, in the book of John, John being the author, he didn't concern himself with the genealogy, while in the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they concerned themselves with the historicity of Jesus. They wanted to prove that Jesus actually was human. They wanted to show the birth of Christ, and there's totally nothing wrong with that. But here John gives a different dimension. Like a mean Tesla, John went straight pedal to the metal and started declaring to his audience the deity of Christ. What is the point? There's no story of magi. There's no comprehensive story about the census that was given by Herod that will have to bring Joseph and Mary to a little town called Bethlehem. Not much comprehensive story about Jesus being born in a manger. But rather, he went straight in saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He concerns himself with the what? With the deity of Christ. What does it mean when you say deity of Christ? Deity simply means the divine state or the divine nature of Christ. He's like saying, oh my goodness, this man that we have here isn't just a man. And he didn't say that on the third chapter, because we realize on the third chapter, he was already preaching to a Pharisee called Nicodemus. On the onset, in just under 2 seconds, he went straight in telling everyone, this is who Jesus is. Interesting, isn't it? He starts telling them who Jesus is. Like what he said, the other accounts of the gospel concern themselves with the birth of Christ. Here, John tells everyone about what? About Jesus being the eternal God. In fact, look at this one. In John chapter 8, verse 58, in the 8th chapter of John, he actually argues, he says, before Abraham was, I am. As he was talking to a group of people, he starts declaring to them, before Abraham was, I am. If we look at this, Why is it that John didn't concern himself with the historical nature of Christ? Perhaps for him that was already given. That's why he was blazing in urgency in telling them about who Christ is. That is why, friends, look at this. We understand that there are four accounts of the gospel. We have the gospel according to Matthew. We have the gospel according to Mark. We have the gospel according to Luke. And the last one is the gospel according to John. Now, while it is right for us to say that there are four accounts of the gospel, another dimension at which we could look into this is this way. There is actually what? A fourfold account of the gospel. In what sense? Because we understand that Mark depicted in his writings, Mark depicted Jesus as the servant, the suffering servant. That's how Mark depicted that. It's so vivid in the book of Mark as to how Jesus served his disciples, washing their feet. Matthew concerned himself or depicted Jesus because of the nature of the audience of Matthew. Matthew depicted Jesus as the Messiah that they have been waiting for, the coming King of Israel. Because they've been longing for that, because his audience were the Jewish community. Now he starts writing and telling them that this man actually is the Messiah. In the Lucan account, we understand that Luke was the one who wrote the book of Luke, of course, and the book of Acts altogether. That's actually, to a certain sense, just one book. And we understand that Luke, being a Gentile, much of his readers are actually Gentiles, learned people. He starts depicting Jesus as the perfect man. But John right here presents Jesus as simply the God that we have to worship. John here gives us a picture of the deity of Christ. Now, I don't know with you, but this truly excites me. It excites me to look into these words right here. Going back to the verses 1 to 3, it says here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Look at this one. He didn't think twice in making bold claims. Friends, we are just in verse 1 of chapter 1. John here didn't think twice in making bold claims. He starts affirming right away that Jesus is the very creator of the world. Look at this. It says here, "In the beginning was the Word." Would you say this with me for a while? "In the beginning was the Word." Interesting. Why? Look at this. Let's try to understand this. Let's do a comparative study for a while. Go to the book of Matthew. Let's see how Matthew started the gospel. Here's how Luke started. "In as much as many have undertaken to compile a narrative that have been accomplished among us." You see, this is really in the form of a letter to a guy named Theophilus. If you go to the book of Mark, here's how Mark started his account of the gospel. Here's what he says. "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet." So he starts alluding to a prophecy of Isaiah. If you go to Matthew, here's what it says here. "The book of the genealogy of Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac," and so on and so forth. You see the difference, right? You see the difference. Now, by saying, look at this one. Here's what John says. John says, can you go to chapter verse 1? Here's what he says. He says, "In the beginning was the Word." Isn't it familiar? Come on now. Have you read this somewhere in the Bible? We see this in where? We see this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The very first book of the Bible, the very first verse of the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." Come on now. Now he starts looking back to the book of Genesis as he starts describing who Jesus is. It says here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God." And we know the story. What is the point? Why in the world is John doing this? Why is he copying the words of Moses? The first three words that we find in the Bible, "in the beginning," are the very same words that we find in John chapter 1, verse 1. What is the point of John? I want you to catch this. Here's the point of John. The point of John is Bethlehem is not the beginning of Jesus. The point of John is Jesus did not begin in the manger. Bethlehem is not the beginning point of Christ. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born in a manger, attended to by Mary and Joseph, visited by shepherds, visited by the Magi. But in the end, you have to understand, if you look at and want to understand who Jesus is, friends, he's far bigger than we think he is. He's far larger than how we understand he is. When John alludes to in the beginning, what does in the beginning mean? It talks about timeless eternity. So if you talk about someone or something who is in timeless eternity, then it gives us a picture of the character of who this being is. It gives us a picture of the main character. So having said that, okay, in the beginning, so in the beginning means timeless eternity. So here's what we have so far. Going back to John chapter 1, verse 1, so here's what we have then. It's safe for us to say that, so in timeless eternity was the Word. If you go to John chapter 1, verse 1, so you can actually change that. In the beginning was the Word. So you can say, in timeless eternity was the Word. Okay? Now, don't worry. We're going to unpack this more. Now, even before there was a beginning, we understand, because it's timeless eternity. So meaning to say, it's safe for us to say that even before there was a beginning, there was the Word. Isn't it? Are you folks catching this? In the beginning is timeless eternity. So this one is saying that in timeless eternity was the Word. So it's safe for us to say that even before there was a beginning, there was the Word. Love this. Question now here is, what is the Word? What is the Word? Okay, certainly, you know, in our time right now as Christians, we allude to the Word as the Bible, as the Word of God. At least in this context, this is not what we're talking about here. The Word that we have in your lap right now, that's not what we're talking about here when we talk about in the beginning was the Word. Because certainly the words that goes out of God's mouth are the word that we are talking about here. The word that goes out of the mouth of God. It says here, in the beginning was the Word. Look at this one. And the Word was with God. Here's the description. Here's John's description of the Word. I want you to follow with me. John's description of the Word is, the Word was with God. Catch it? Then he goes to blows us away. Okay, he blows our mind away by saying, and the Word was God. When I was a new Christian, these are the verses that really baffled me until such a time that I understood what these things mean. So John's description of the Word was with God. Then he goes to say, the Word here is God. The Word was God. So the logic here gives us a picture that the logic is there is a being. Is it right? Just by looking at those words, it tells us that there is a being, and the being is the Word. So what begs to be answered is, what is he and who is he? Have you ever thought about this? If you look at this, bakit pa tayo pinahirapan ni John? Why not just write Jesus instead of Word? Right? Because it will totally make sense. Look at this one. Try to interchange the word Word, capital W, with Jesus. And I tell you what, I promise you, it will make sense. It will be much easier for us. Look at this one. You can say it this way. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. Don't you think that would be much easier? It's much easier if John could have just used Jesus instead of Word.
So the question for us is this: why was John using the word "word" instead of simply putting there Jesus? You know why? Because the name Jesus or Yeshua is a human name given at a certain and given point in time. We already argued that we are talking about eternity past, timeless eternity. It is a human name given at a point in time. That's why John argues that, you know what? Guess what? Guess what? He is not confined in time. This Jesus, this word, he's not confined in time. That is the argument of John here. Okay, John wants us to go to as far back as eternity, wherein Jesus was not given the name Jesus by his parents, but rather he was simply called the Word. Or at least in this sense, we understand that he is the living Word. Interesting. Let's try to understand words for a while. Are words alive? Look at this one. I'm using words to preach this morning. I'm using words to communicate with you. But my words, and so as yours, are things that we'll say, but in the end, our words will fade away. Why? Because our words are not living. Here we see that this word right here is alive. In fact, if you follow the logic of John, it's not just alive, but we understand that the Word is a person. The implication of this is very simple. First, okay, John presents Jesus not just as a creation or a creature, but the creator of the world. That's why he says in verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. How do we argue for that? Because here's what it says here, all things were made through him. So if he's the Word, now look at this one. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1 gives us the account of creation. Genesis chapter 1 gives us the account of creation. What do we have there? If we go to the book of Genesis, do we see God assembling organic materials in creation? Do we see God assembling all of these carbons and forming this into an organism or a plant? No. But what do we have there? We have God speaking the Word, and things come into being. And the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Would you turn your Bibles with me for a while to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. Talking about Jesus, it says here, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and, come on now, for his glory. For him, it says. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see where John is leading us. That's actually an argument of Paul. That was Paul writing to the church at Colossae. So having said all of those so far, what should be on our mind right now as we read verses 1 and 3? So if you read John chapter 1, next time you have your Bible study somewhere, you have your victory group, or you talk to someone, or you have your quiet time, every time you open your Bibles to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, the backdrop in your mind should be the creation. You don't take these verses and isolate it, no? You don't single out this verse, but you need to have a backdrop. And the backdrop should be the creation. With that backdrop, think about this for a while. Look at this one. In Genesis chapter 1, God brings life and light. Isn't it? That's what we have. Through the Word, life came to be. Catch it? Just to give you a picture, in John chapter 1, verse 4, we understand that God is the bringer of life. Read John, go to Genesis. You read Genesis 1, go to the book of John. In Genesis chapter 1, God brings life and light. Take note of those two words. In John, Jesus is the bringer of life. Look at this one. John chapter 1, verse 4, it says here, in Jesus was life. In the Word was life. That is why, as a Christian, you should be a person who loves hanging out with Jesus. You know why? Because if you are with Jesus, Bible says, He is the bringer of life. And take note, this is not bios kind of life. This is Zoe kind of life, in a sense that He gives us the essential, the quality, and the spirituality that we need in order to have a fruitful Christian walk. I mentioned two words a while ago, life and light. 2020, to a certain extent, has robbed us of life and light. Isn't it? You spend 15 minutes on your social media and you will receive an impartation of darkness. You will receive an impartation of death. And then here you go as a Christian, you don't counter that by not associating or going or drawing near to Jesus, and you don't have impartation of life in you. What do you think will be your disposition? What will be our disposition if we are given impartation of darkness and death this year? That is why we need to draw near to Christ. Not just that, it says here that Jesus is the one who brings light out of darkness. I love that. We also see that in the book of Genesis. That God brings what? Light out of darkness. Amazing. Here it says here in John chapter 1 verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. Look at this one. And the darkness cannot overcome it. Hey, come on now. Are you listening? The darkness cannot overcome it. However bad 2020 is, however bad or dark or gleam or bleak our situation is, the Bible says because Jesus can bring light out of darkness, darkness cannot overcome it. Meaning to say, darkness will have dominion over us. God in His light and life will subdue the darkness in us. Are you folks catching this? All I want us to do is to draw near to Christ if you want life and light. It will be easy for us to conclude that yes, you will live a defeated, useless, and fruitless Christian life if you don't draw near to God. If you don't draw near to Christ. It will affect our disposition. It will affect our thinking. It will affect our words. It will affect our relationship. It will affect, I don't know with you, but have you been so anxious lately? Our company is laying off people. I might be losing my job. But if we draw near to God's word, we draw near to Jesus, we understand, man, friends, there is life here. I can actually end here and just simply tell you that. Draw near to Jesus because in Him there is life and light. Look at this. Moreover, there is an exclamatory segment in the book of John. We are in John chapter 1. Let me skip. I mentioned a while ago that Jesus is the bringer of life. Amen? Now look at this one. John chapter 20, verse 22, it says here, when He was talking to His disciples, it says here, and when He had said this, Bible says, look at this one, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Wait a second. Isn't it that the Bible says in the book of Genesis as well, that God breathed into His nostrils the breath of life? We see that in Genesis chapter 2. That's why it sounds so familiar. So the point here is, if we go to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and we go to John chapter 20, verse 22, it tells us that Jesus actually is the creator of both what? Physical and spiritual life. Several years ago, during the wedding of Pastor JD, I went to Davao and met some of his friends there. And you know, for some reason, we found ourselves in the emergency room because a certain friend's sister was rushed to the hospital. And we were there for like 2 hours, I think. We're waiting for the news inside the emergency room. And finally, the doctor came out with a bad news. Have you ever been in that situation? Doctor coming out with a bad news. You know this. You see this on TV. What will doctor say? Sorry? We did everything. But he or she has passed away. Our idea of life is this one. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Our only idea of life is the biological aspect of life. No matter how advanced technology is, no matter what technology or tubes you put in a person in the ICU, when the person stops breathing, that's it. Come on now. And all we can do is what? All we can do as human beings is to what? Is to prolong this aspect of life. But we as Christians understand that this is not all the life that there is. Because we understand that Jesus is the giver of spiritual life. That's why he says and confronts Nicodemus in telling Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. And here's a brilliant Pharisee saying, how is that supposed to be? Should I go back to my mother's womb? And you don't know what I'm talking about. Life is not just being able to breathe. Friends, look at this one. Life is having a vibrant relationship with Christ. Life is understanding that we live this life in our world for the glory of God. Life is understanding that if we abide in Christ, we will be fruitful. Life is understanding that even if I lose my job, that's not the end of my life. Life is understanding that even if I cannot travel far to visit my relatives, I do understand that in the midst of the pain and the suffering of the situation, I can always appeal to my God. I can always have a smile on my face. Because Jesus is the bringer of life. He brings life into me. He brings life into my spirit. Then it says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Interesting. Then we go to verse 14. In verse 14 it says here, and the Word, come on now. Here's your Christmas story, friends. Come on now. This is now the manger. This is now Bethlehem. This is now the Magi. This is now the shepherd. This is now the angels. It says here, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Woo! The Creator, the bringer of life, the one who brings light out of darkness, says here, He dwelt among us. And look at this one. It says here, we have seen His glory, glorious of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I did mention a while ago that you cannot read the book of John without referring to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. It tells us basically that the Old Testament is involved in the birth of Christ. This is not just a story to warm your heart. Come on now. Advent devotions, Christmas traditions, Christmas series, these are not things to warm your heart. Because if you understand this, this will not just warm your heart, this will change your heart. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what we have here. You know, John in his genius, he was unfolding something. He was like, everybody, go to the book of Genesis. Go to the first book of the Torah. Go to the first book of the Bible. He says, you go through the books of the Bible. You go through the books of the Bible. And then guess what? The exclamation point is here. The aspiration, the foundation, the prophecy is now being manifested among us. That's what he says. Now we have here the very Christ. It gives us a picture that John here seems to present Jesus as someone who is not removed or isolated from the entire story of the Bible. Rather, he presents Jesus as someone who completes a story. There is a story, and here's the completion of the story. It seems like Jesus, according to John, is completing a much bigger picture. A much bigger picture and a much older story. This is something that the generations of Moses have been looking forward to. This is something that the generation of Isaac and Jacob have been looking forward to. And now in their time, it is being fulfilled. Guess what? What is the implication of that to all of us? Now in our time, it was fulfilled. And we are simply propagating and associating ourselves and enjoying the fruit of all of these things. That is Christmas. And how dare we sometimes being here at a time where all of these things apply in our lives. Tapos wala man lang tayong excitement to worship. Wala man lang tayong pakialam sa Word ni God. Wala man lang tayong pakialam sa Pasko. Come on now. You're not even growing as a Christian. All of these things have been done. And it is now to our application. Jesus is the culmination and the fulfillment of the long history of Israel. And thank God, God drafted us in that story as Gentiles. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. It simply means that Jesus should be seen with the larger context of God's plan of redemption. Draw to Jesus because He's the bringer of life. He brings light out of darkness. It says here, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, love His glory as of the only Son from the Father. It says here, full of grace and truth. I want you to look at the word dwelt for a while. Look at the word dwelt. It says here, the word dwelt in its original Greek is the word skino, which means to pitch a tent, to tabernacle. Man, I love that. The word dwelt here simply means to pitch a tent. Now, let me just change this for a while. Look at this one. And the Word, God, became flesh and dwelt, meaning to say, pitch a tent. The next one, pitch a tent or tabernacles to go to us, among us, and we have seen His glory. The glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, I love this. You know why? Because if you look at this, I'll share with you a story. What is the purpose of the tabernacle? What is the purpose of the tabernacle? Here's the purpose of the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 to 35 says here, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Ooh. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because of the cloud, because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not set out until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night. In the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. What do we have here? The tabernacle was a provision for the glory of God to dwell. The tabernacle was a provision for the glory of God to dwell. Then it says here, come on now, in verse 14 it says here, now we see that Jesus dwelt or pitched a tent, tabernacled among us. What is the purpose of the tabernacle? For us to see the glory of God. Look at this one. Verse 14, it says here, so that we have seen His glory, the glory of the one only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. In essence, what was Jesus saying here? John chapter 1, verse 14 says, all right, here's Jesus now. He dwells in us. Remember, look at this one. I want you to catch this. This is in John chapter 1. If you go further in John chapter 2, we see Jesus arguing with people. And what did He say? Destroy this temple. And in 3 days, it will be raised again. What He was essentially saying is, this temple right here is already useless. That's why in John chapter 4, if you go further, He talks to a Samaritan woman at the well. Remember that? He says, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship. Because He's saying, I ought to be worshipped. Amen. That Jesus, being the Word, has to be worshipped. And as we worship Him, He imparts upon us, like what I said, life and light.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.